Bible study of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, where we're going to start, we're talking about the pillars of the faith, and as someone came up with a proxy for the Baptist, which you see that the proxy there kind of goes along with what we believe is what the Bible teaches, actually, and the first one being the Bible is the sole authority. The A is the autonomy of the local church. It's independent. It's not governed by any other organization. Of course, Christ is the leader, and then it has an organization attached. And then the things that we make. Then we also have the priesthood of the believer. In fact, in each one of us, there's God connected and talking. You don't have to come to a pastor or priest or anybody else. That's not saying you can't be counselor. It's talking about if you want to talk to the Lord, you can talk to them directly. They are ready. I'll talk about two ordinances, one is baptism and the other is the Lord's Supper. And tonight we're going to start the individual soul living, units. And then the S is saved membership. And that's what we strive to do in our church, is to try to make sure that everybody, as best we can, that joins our church, is someone who is born again. And also, there's some offices that Bob talks about, and Timothy talks about the pastor. And then we have the last S, the separation of okay. So we're going to look at the individual soul living. Now, what is the individual soul living? What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, yeah. Anybody else? That's exactly right. It's really the free will of man. We have that choice because God gave it to us. And that's what individual soul living is every person has to be persuaded fully in their own mind what they believe. Whether they believe about God, whether they believe God is God or not. And whatever decisions they make, if they're Christian, they have to themselves believe what does the Bible teach? How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do? What's the direction in my life? Again, they need to be persuaded. They want to persuade in their own mind. Turn to Genesis, which I've already asked you to see, probably already there. In Genesis chapter 1, so God's given us this, each person this free will, and we have a right to choose. And so here it begins in the very, very, very beginning when man was created. Man was created as an individual, period. Okay? He was singular. When he was first created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and the Bible goes to that passage. I'm going to begin reading. I'm just going to read down to verse 31 here for a second. It says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. And interesting, that word our, what does that tell you? Yeah, Trinity. Very good. Tell us there's a Trinity. God, Father, God, Son, God, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created man, male and female created in him. So here we have the overall view that he created male and female. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every bird of every sea, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, and you it shall be for meat. Now, interesting there, just make a note too, every time you see the word meat in the Bible, it's not talking about cows and pigs and stuff like that, right? Just means food. Many times it means food. No! And most often when you see the meat offering, some of those, those are some kind of food, okay? Maybe that's it. When you're reading those things. It says in verse 30, it says, get every beast of the earth, get every fowl of the air, get everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, that's food, And it was so. So the beast of the field at this time, the only thing they ate was plants. Isn't that interesting? Reading Isaiah, and they got under the Lord, and they were going through that, and they were in the millennial kingdom. You know what the beast they ate did? The lion ate. Huh? Not the lamb, that's right. Like a child shall lead, it says in that passage. But so it's just interesting. So here they're not eating, but they're not the north of the north. Thank you. Thank you. Carnivorous. So in verse 1 says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good, and he made it on the sixth day. So here we see the plan that God had made. He made all these animals, he formed them. And then chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And some people like to think, well, hold it. God just gave us a story, gave us his word in chapter 1 that made male and female. And here it's telling us to make man again. Well, this is the details. Okay? The other was just a synopsis. So notably, this is the detail of how he did it. And so these are passages are just as important as the others. So here he breathed in man into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God formed him from the dust of the ground. Everything was formed from the dust or from the dirt of the ground. Everything came from the ground, except he was the only thing that was formed from the ground. Let's see. You know, we go back and see some examples about fishes. And fishes, they are maybe they're not close. But anyway, it's really good. In verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, every tree of the garden now makes of back in verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So to dress it is to work it, okay, to take care of it. To keep it is the garden. So that was man's responsibility. Adam's responsibility, the only man on the earth at that time, was to keep, or was to dress, or work it, and to keep it. That's what that word dress doesn't mean. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So here we see the first decision, or the first thing that God told him, there was a decision to be made. Everything else was kind of set in place. He didn't know good and evil. He was a perfect man. He walked in the cool of the garden of God in Genesis 3:8. Talks about that. And of course, all of that he could do freely because he did not know sin. He did not know good and evil. And God told him there was only one thing. One thing he should do. He gave him a free will to make a choice. And of course, God wants us to make the right choices, and he gives us the opportunity to make the wrong choices as well. What does making the wrong choice demonstrate to God? This will be an empty out. I'm going to ask you that. Sin? Yeah. Lack of trust? A lack of love for God? In a sense, there is that to some degree. He did something he shouldn't have done, and that was because he didn't believe in God in that sense. If he'd have had faith in God and his word, he wouldn't have done that. If he trusted God filled in his heart, he wouldn't have done that. Why can I say that? How can I say that? Because he didn't have the confidence that in his heart that he hated that. He would know good and evil, and he would be disobeying God. So then, when you go to chapter 2, and we find out where the woman is. Now, look at verse 18. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So here we go. He's going to make him a helpmeet. Okay. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call him. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and for the bow of the air that everything is revealed, but for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of Adam's, he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made the woman and brought her unto him. So the woman was not formed out of the rest of the ground, or most of the ground. Everybody else was. All the beasts and all that. Now, I didn't say anything about fish, but all the beasts, they were. Gil, he made a note, let me read this, what he said about this particular instance. He says, it's common in the dirt, and pertinently enough, that woman was not made from the superior part of man, that she might not be thought to be above him and have power over him, nor from any inferior part as being below him and be trampled on by him, but out of his side, and from one of his ribs, that she might appear to be equal to him. And from a part near his heart and under his arm, to show that she should be affectionately loved by him, and be always under his care and protection, that she was not created as things were out of nothing, nor formed as Adam was out of the dust of the earth, being in the same form as man, but made out of refined and quickened dust, or the flesh and bones of man. Now, this is the last thing there. That's not in the scripture. He's just making some observations. It's true, she was not. She is different, and that's interesting when you think about it. I just, one of the things I never really gave much thought to, and so I went through this and started studying this and realized that that is something. But anyway, so the animals were created. God gave man instruction. He was to work, and he was to guard the garden. There was only one man created at first, and then there was Adam. So the two were together. And the problem is, God gave them a free will, and there was a serpent. As this thing came through, but the serpent was subtle. He was a subtle serpent. He helped him to be the devil himself. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said. Now the serpent is taking the word of God, twisting the word of God. He is telling her what God has said. He says, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. God didn't put it that way. Can you see how that's subtle and how that's tricky? My mother said something one time years ago after we got saved and trying to live for the Lord. We were certain toys we wanted kids to have, and it was a popular toy at the time. Anyway, we talked with mom. We still want our kids to have this particular toy. We don't feel like it's something that we, you know, it's a little whatever. And she made me say, well, I can't buy you anything for them. Kind of what Satan's doing. You can't eat of every tree of the garden. There's only one tree of the tree. He's saying it's a tree. So he's kind of twisting them out. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So did God tell Adam that we know of that he couldn't touch the tree? They can't touch you. He told them you couldn't eat of it. Now, for whatever reason, maybe that was a standard that Adam put up in his life and told Jesus, look, don't go near that tree. Don't even touch it. Maybe that's what he said. You know, we do that in our life, don't we? I do. There are things that I know that if I'm tempted or if I go there, I'm going to be in trouble. So I don't even go there. I don't even put myself in position to be tempted if I know that something's going to tempt me. So regardless, I don't believe God told them to say that. At least we don't have to believe that. But the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And I can't be fine because God said to me. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree of the good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the root thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband to give her, and he did eat. So here we see the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, lust of flesh. Yeah. Those three things are in effect here. She saw the fruit, she saw it was pleasant. and it was greedily desired by flesh, and she took of that and deprived her. She took this and she partook of this and then she gave to her husband. So he, we know, was deceived. But Adam, he disobeyed. Right out. Because we know that Adam was told not to take this. So anyway, here they had a choice. They had a free will. This was their individual soul living. They could make a decision. God gave that to them. God, who is a sovereign God, God who knows everything, past, present, and future, he gave them an opportunity to make a choice. God does the same thing for us today. He did the same thing for Cain and Abel. Turn over to chapter 4 for a second. Look at this. Maybe you can call a story here with Cain and Abel. In verse 3 of chapter 4, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offering them to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What happened there was, by, I'm sure Adam and Eve probably taught these two young boys that there was a blood sacrifice to be offered. They understood this. God sacrificed the first animal in the Garden of Eden. Give them coats to wear. So they would shed blood from the very first sin. And I'm sure they probably thought, man, whatever Cain brought, it's probably the best that he had. But see, it's not the best that we have that's important. It's God's word, his plan. You have to do it his way. And Cain did not. In fact, verse 7 says, if thou doest well, this is the Lord talking to Cain, shalt thou not be accepted? And I'm sure what's down there. If you would have listened and were obedient and did that, make that choice of bringing that blood sacrifice, that would have been accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt be broken. There was an individual choice, an individual will to make a decision. And he chose to disobey God. Go to John chapter 2. John chapter 3. Now, I love this passage. We've studied this passage over the years many times, and we know it very well. I remember one time when I was talking to Grace, he said something stuck in the air since. He said that when he talked to me, he felt he could ask the question on the phone again. And I thought, because if you understand being born again, there's a good chance that you understand the gospel. Because a lot of people don't understand. But anyway, in this chapter, that's what it's talking about. Jesus, the man of the Pharisees, the first one, the ruler of the Jews, and the same thing that Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, which means master, he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He knows that he is from God. Nicodemus. I believe Nicodemus was a man that desired to know the will of God, like Paul. He was somebody who was seeking God. He really wanted to know God. He was serious about the things of God. And so here, he heard about or saw a miracle that used wine, that was water, was turned into wine, or that he just heard of it. But he said to him, that we know that you are a teacher from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So here, Jesus is going to explain to him, he has a choice. It's all about that individual soul living. Nicodemus was getting ready to hear the words from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, on a choice that he's going to have to make a decision about. And it's every person that has come to this point for this particular decision to understand to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. In verse 3, Jesus answered, he said unto him, very rare, said unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, is there anything there that sounds fishy or hard to understand? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 34. I heard someone talking about a preacher last night. And he was asked about this. He's a well-known preacher. And he was asked about this, and he just said, I don't know. I'm scratching my head. I'm saying, really? He said it three times. The commentators kept asking questions about this. He said, well, I really don't know. How can you not know? If you don't know, then you really don't believe the Bible. You don't really believe that God is the God of the Bible. And in fact, some of the evangelists didn't believe in him. He asked about everybody else in the world. He said, well, you know, God told us, and he told us, so we would know. Anyway, so he said, except a man be born again, cannot think to him, God, make him say the name, how can a man be born when he's old? Then he entered in the same time as his brother came, and he's born. A logical question, right? Jesus answered everybody, saying, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, some people scratch their head and go, what is he talking about? Some of I've heard of mentioned, but actually, in my religion, one time, I tried to preach that water with some kind of word, washing of the water with the word, it's like that. And I said, frankly, I can't read it because it looks past the context. Because the very next verse, it goes down and says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you look in context, it's clear. Scripture is saying that which is born in the flesh, that's your first birth. That's when you came into this world. That's talking and really relating to the fact that you were in that water sack. And I believe that's what it's teaching. It's pretty clear here. And then, of course, he goes on in the testimony, marvel not that I say anything, you must be born again. So here he's giving us a clear opportunity, a clear choice. This is the same choice that needs to be offered to everybody else to make that choice or that have that individual soul that they can just make a choice of Jesus or not. And everybody's got to come to that at some point. They will. Most people may have already made their mind up. A lot of people might already decide they don't want God's life. They don't care about God. They don't want anything to do with God. They're hard to reach. They're hard to break that shell, if you will, to get in. Sometimes it's on because they've already got that outer shell on them. And you have to get through that. Well, I believe that means putting faith and trust in Christ. Turn to Mark chapter 9. You see a situation where somebody else who was seeking the Lord, there's a different situation that arises here. In Mark chapter 19. Talking about individual soul, everybody has choices to make. The first choice, obviously, is the choice of what we do with God, what we do with Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 19, you know what? I think it's 9. Let me go look and see. Well, you know what? One thing about computers, you know, it's not the computer's fault. The guy who puts his fingers on the keyboard. I'm going to blame it on the computer, but it won't work. Just try hard. You know, sometimes you get the first letter, and you throw in the rest of the word or something. It didn't happen, but that's what it was. Anyway, Matthew chapter 19. And then you're familiar with this story as well. This is a true story of a young man who's wealthy. He had a lot of wealth. And he also has a choice, an individual soul living. He has a will to choose. And here was a man that was really. He saw some things in Jesus and he came to him. And verse 16 says, behold, one came unto and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have for life? So what is he looking for here? What is he wanting to do? Anybody tell me what's he wanting to do? Yeah, he wants to know, what's the one thing I gotta do? Isn't that what we all want to know? What's the one thing I can do? Empty the trash or sweep the floor. What is it? What do I have to do? One thing. And verse 17 says, again, why callest thou me good when there is none but one that is God? And if thou wilt end life, he commanded. So here Jesus is trying to go back and help him to see what it takes, what's the requirement to be within to have this eternal life. And notice he called Jesus the master. Jesus replied to him, there's only one good, and that is God. What did he just tell him? That's right. He told him that Jesus is God. Right there. So then, verse 18 says, and he saith unto him, thou shalt be no murderer, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he gave him about 70 commandments. Okay? And this young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And I was just thinking, wow, I think I got this. This has got nailed down. I mean, what other thing do I got to do? I've done all those. I'm really doing a good job here. Someone said the other day to me that they thought they were a good person. And that was when they did it to heaven. Okay? Or they're hoping that, yes, that's not going to work for you. That's what this particular young man is saying as well. And then verse 1 says, verse 21, Jesus said to me that thou wilt be perfect. Again, that's that conclusion. He said, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. So this man couldn't do it. He really sought the Bible says. Why? Because he could not give up what he had to follow the Lord. He could not give up the things that he was in bondage to. And actually, what he did was the 10th commandment, the one that definitely wrote, he was covetous. He said, go sell. That wasn't the most important thing, go and sell him. The most important thing was, follow me. he would just let the stuff there. That would probably be fine, but he couldn't follow Jesus because the stuff at him. So he made an individual soul liberty choice of not following Christ because the things that he had controlled his life. They had him. And it's the same thing for us as believers today. Romans chapter 12. Just turn here for a second. We can quote it quickly. But that doesn't go there. This is talking about individual soul living as well. In this passage, I was reading this and thinking about this. And, sometimes we have to come to Scripture and instead of just reading, and I'm not saying don't read the way it is because that's what we've got, but sometimes we need to personalize Scripture for ourselves. Who we are. And as I was looking at this, I thought about that, and that's where it says, I teach you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. I teach you, Greeks, okay, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present your body, Greeks, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, Greeks, your reasonable service. And that's really what he's doing. He wants to speak to each individual. It's an individual choice. It's not a collective choice, it's my choice and your choice and every individual's choice. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Bruce. I imagine you know that. That you may prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So I have a choice if I want to follow this or not. I can say to God, look, I got some things I like, and I don't want to give those up. Just like Rich Young Ruler. I can make an individual choice. Lord, these are more important than following you. And it's a thought that we need to think about. God's not necessarily calling us to sell all our stuff. I was thinking about that today in office. Number one, would I recognize him? I hope so, but wonder if I would. And then one of them was in the pulpit and he said, Bruce, come follow me. Would I get out of the pulpit and just walk out and say, guys, I'm gone? Or would I stay in the pulpit and say, oh, God, I got a message to preach. There's things to do still, Jesus. And not now. I got other things to do. I wonder how I would react if he did that. Now, that's exactly what he did when he was on the earth. He called Matthew, and Matthew knew he left, probably. He called Peter and John and Andrew. They left. They were fishing and fishing. And I was just thinking about that. Now, God's not calling us to necessarily leave all our stuff, but our attitude and our heart up here. That the stuff I have, the needs I have, and how to most important thing in our context. That's an individual choice. It's an individual choice that we have. Now, each one of us are responsible for those choices. The unbeliever, his choice is going to lead to a place called the Great White Throne. He's going to be raised up from the dead. And he's going to stand before Jesus Christ. And he's going to be judged on his works, number one. And then secondly, he will not be there. So what's the works deal? Well, I think there's a person who's more moral than another person, their torment may be different or less than somebody else. I think there's different degrees. Just like there are different degrees for us, not in the sense that it's going to be a negative thing for us, other than we lose rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that. So for us, our individual soul reveal, our choices are going to lead to standing before the Lord and giving account for what we chose to do. And based on those choices, we may get the rewards or not. And I think it's going to be, it'd be nice to have some of the rewards. I think also, when we get to the kingdom stage, I think there will be different jobs for us. Now, some of you might make up your mind and say, well, I don't care. As long as I get in, I'm fine. And there may be people who think that way, I don't know. But when you love the Lord, you want to strive to please Him. And that's what we're doing. We have individual living to do that. Do you make mistakes? Yes. Do I make mistakes? Every single day. That's why when we read in Psalm 32 to David, he was talking about his iniquity. What he knew, he told us he couldn't sleep, he was wretched, he was just in a turmoil all the time. So he confessed his sin. He got back to God. He got to restore that relationship. And so that's what we want, to be as close to God as we possibly can. And the only way that can be is have the line of communication with Him, with our individual soul and individual choices. There are a lot of other choices we can make. Romans chapter 14, Paul writes about meats. That's an individual soul and individual choice, too. If the Bible doesn't tell us anything that is specific, then we have an individual choice on it. When I say specific, I'm going to talk about principles, because principles are specific to the sense. It may not tell you, don't watch TV, but it does say you should put a wicked thing before your eyes. Now, how am I going to know what's wicked and what's not? In the Bible, it tells us what's evil. It tells us what's wrong. It tells us what's bad. And so we have to make a choice, a deliberate individual soul choice on what we're going to watch and what we're not going to watch. And we have to do that to make sure that we're going to strive for the Bible. But that's our choice. It doesn't say you shouldn't have to do it. Just like to talk about the meat. Some people like meat, and some people eat meat, some can't. But he also said, too, that part of this is that we learn to value meat. Now, I know Greg likes meat. I don't know if anybody else is vegetarian, but there are people who don't eat meat. And so to offer them meat might be offensive to make. And so Greg, I'm sure, he wouldn't offer and say, come on to my house, you're vegetarian, I want to show you what I got to eat. You throw out that big old steak and start cutting it up, and Greg Sinner smacking chips on that and eat that, and he's really enjoying it. Knowing that they wouldn't eat it. Now, we wouldn't do that. We would sacrifice again, and we'd have a salad, wouldn't we? That's what we do. And so that's what he's talking about for our soul, individual living, the choices we get to make. And it's not choices apart from the Word of God. Anything that God doesn't tell us specifically about, that's a choice that we can make. Anything that God tells us in His Word, principles, or thus saith the Lord, the choice we still can make it is the disobedience to God. And that's the difference. When we know to do right, look for the kingdom, know to do right, and not to do this. So if I know something the Bible says, don't do this, and I do it, I'm in disobedience to God. I just chose my own free will, individual authority, to make a decision of disobedience to God. That's what individual authority is. Everybody has it. Everybody. Lost, You say. We all have that fear. Anybody have any thoughts? Father, thank you for this time that you love us. We thank you for the word God and you love us to be able to change. We know that the folks that are here tonight and that come to this church faithfully, they know that you're coming to this. Again, yes. But also help us to know the deeper things of God. Understand what the next steps are for us. And maybe it's my fault somewhere else. Because some of